racing to the first tee, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first tee.
Welcome back into the grow room, certainly under dire circumstances, but Jay and I, maybe we can give a little entertainment and a little bit of a distraction during this coronavirus time of seclusion. This nasty little virus has affected different parts of the country, certainly in different ways with different restrictions. Jay, I know you never saw anything in your lifetime like this because I'm much older than you and I've never seen it.
Yeah, we talked last week about my dad, who was 7 years old in 1941, and changes that took place, you know, from 41 to 45 during the war years, and nothing to compare this to. Nothing like this we've ever seen, and we're dealing with it. It changes on a daily basis. Bob, I can give the golf perspective. From where a week ago, Gateway National, one of the great tracks in the St. Louis area, public golf course, was open. Then on Sunday night, we were told that golf was a non-essential business under the mandate from Governor J.B. Pritzker, the governor of the fine state of Illinois. And we were closed. And then ownership was telling us we're trying to deal with local constituents to try and get the mandate changed. Well, last night in the state of Illinois, golf courses are now allowed to be open, but there are a bevy of restrictions. And I can tell you that probably the most notable is walking only. There will be no golf carts in use. I was even told that private country clubs that are even community clubs, Bob, were in housing developments where many people may have their own personal cart. Those carts will not be, no golf carts on golf courses, at least in the state of Illinois. And every state is dealing with it differently, just as every state, Bob, as you know, rather than a federal mandate, is making state decisions at this point as it relates to how they're dealing with the virus and the things that accompany it, the decisions that have to be made.
Well, there's no doubt that you're on top of the situation as far as who can play and how you can play. What is your recommendation, Jay, going to be to somebody that wants to go out and walk? You're going to suggest that they carry, what, three or four clubs with them and just make it more of a recreational thing than even anything remotely competitive?
Well, I think it's going to be to each his own. I think that, you know, we're even spacing some of the times to quote-unquote social distance so that players wouldn't necessarily be having to congregate on the putting green. I don't know. It's all such a change. I think you'll have some people that, as you said, are just coming out to hit something, to get some frustration out. It's supposed to be 74 degrees here in St. Louis tomorrow. We've had some poor weather, and people are jonesing. They're jumping at the, you know, they're at the bit to get out there and put it in the air. And I think it'll be very interesting to see what the response is. I mean, are we going to have 20 people show up? Are we going to have 100 people come and play? We are reducing the rate because of the walking only. So I think it's a fascinating study. We've all kind of felt as this thing has gone along, if you've been in the golf industry, and Bob, I know you're on Twitter and Facebook, and you've seen the comments, and you're tight with a lot of golf pros, so you've talked to them. There's been a feeling that maybe golf could be a escape from what people are dealing with if we could make it safe. And I think that's what Illinois has done, made it as safe as possible with the walking restriction and some of the things that are being done on the golf course. So it's kind of an each his own. You'll probably have those guys that are thinking, hey, you know, if I don't start playing, I'm not going to be ready for my game on Saturday mornings, hopefully in a couple of weeks. And then you've got competitive people, and you've got people that are just trapped inside and say, I'm going to go out and I'm going to walk a golf course.
I want to remind all of our listeners that if you want any up-to-date information, Jay has a very active Twitter account, STL Golf Geek, and I know he'll be keen on posting anything that pertaining to playing golf or what's going on in the world of golf. Let's run down a few things that are taking place, and then we do have something special for our listeners, an opportunity to spend some time with Gary Player, who this past Monday was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom, along with Annika Sörenstam. Unfortunately, the ceremony and festivities at the White House had to be postponed, but still, he did earn that award, and he spent some time with us in the grow room, and I know people are going to enjoy that. First off, the big news, Jay, obviously, 2020 Olympics postponed until 2021.
Yeah, I mean, and anybody that didn't think this was on the way is just out of their mind. I mean, you know, in the majority of these countries that participate, Bob, they have trials or qualifiers, if you will, like the United States swimming trials to get to see who gets to go to the Olympics. Those are obviously all in question. It was just a matter of time, and now it obviously, you know, with golf being in the Olympics, is something that we pay a little closer attention to. So, the Olympic Games, at least for now, postponed until 2021. One of the unique things that they're going to have to deal with, Bob, is they had already sold, you know, they built the Olympic Village and the apartments and the areas for the athletes to stay. Well, as soon as those athletes moved out after the Games, the majority had already been sold in terms of housing for the residents over there. So, you know, we're dealing with disruptions everywhere, but clearly a major disruption with the population over there and the revenue that was going to be coming to that country, and all the travel and all the planning has been pushed back.
There's no doubt it was the right decision. I have been fortunate or unfortunate, whichever word you think fits best, to know two people that were directly affected by disruption of Olympics. And one, Janice Self, our executive producer, her dad was an Olympic skier back in the late 30s. I think it was 1938. He was set to ski for the United States team. The war issues came up. He was unable to ski. Another dear friend of mine, he lives in Austin, Texas. His then fiance was captain of the U.S. swim team for the University of Texas, one of the best swimmers in the world. She would work out sometimes as many as 6-7 hours of 7 days a week in the pool leading up to the 1980 Olympics, and then she never got to swim one stroke. So, you know, for those athletes that directly affected, boy, it really is a tough deal.
It can be a life changer. I mean, you set yourself up to be as good as you can be, as I said, for the U.S., like a U.S. swimming trials. I mean, you mentioned the University of Texas. I mean, what a great swimming program. But yeah, those kids and those athletes have been planning their whole course towards the trials. I would imagine, as it relates to qualifying for the games, those will move to next year. So it's a huge change in your training. You know, and I think, as you and I both know, with this being an unprecedented event, we've got unprecedented circumstances, and we're still trying to kind of guide our way through them.
Yeah, and another area that the world of golf is staring down right now, Jay, New York is facing, you know, they're virtually on lockdown, and that's where the U.S. Open was going to be, Wingfoot. It's still on the books as we speak for mid-June, but I can't see it happening. And my main reason for concern, Jay, as you well know, the U.S. Open, just in its name, signifies that it's open to a lot of people, and about 9,000 try and qualify just to play. So the problem is twofold. Not only hosting the actual United States Open and trying to have qualifying for people to see who can compete.
Yeah, that's going to be the dilemma. That local qualifying aspect And I think the USGA is looking very closely at that. You know, let's remind our fine listeners, you have a local qualifying in your area, if you will, or somewhere near your area, or you can go somewhere and try and qualify in what's deemed a local qualifier. Then they have sectional qualifying. Those players that advance from the local qualifying are then mixed in with people that are already exempt potentially because of tour status or previous finish in certain things to the sectional qualifier. And that's where you fill the rest of the field for the United States Open at the various sectional qualifiers. And that usually comes 2 weeks before the United States Open. And the sectionals start a couple of weeks before that date. So it's going to be a dilemma, Bob. I think the hope, obviously, from all of us would be that the week of the U.S. Open, things are, in a way, back to what we've known. But the problem is, how are they going to gather that field and make up that field, and will they make some alteration? That's kind of the next, you know, next one to fall, if you will, as we know the PGA has postponed. Will the U.S. Open?
And, of course, a lot of listeners to the Grill Room come from the United Kingdom, and I do a lot of work for Talk Sport over there, and was on the air yesterday. The UK is officially closed. All the golf courses are now under, you know, they're all shut down because the population is shelter in place, and actually police issuing fines for those who choose to go out when told to stay in their house. So as dire as it is right here in the United States now, I sympathize with the people in the United Kingdom, Jay, that they're not even allowed to go out of their house.
You know, you look at these numbers and, you know, they can make your brain crazy, but it appears like the United Kingdom was on a very scary pace. And I think the Prime Minister, I mean, Prince Charles has COVID-19. The Prince, you know, it's tough over there. And you and I know for so many people over there, how golf is their outlet. We know a lot of guys that are caddies in the morning and then members in the afternoon and go play. That's how they've retired. And the commerce, people like Perry Goff and all the travel companies. I mean, we're moving into that season where a lot of people in the United States make that trip to St. Andrews or go up to the Highlands in Royal Dornoch or go to, the Emerald Isle and see Ballybunion. There's no way to figure out the cost of all this, but just by telling you how that little segment, just that segment of golf travel to Scotland or Ireland is affected, you and I both know so many people in that industry.
It's absolutely devastating. On a little bit more of a positive note, Jay, certainly hearing a lot of things, and I'd be interested to see if you've heard anything. The Masters looks like they're shooting for an October date. I know a lot of the hotels and motels in Augusta are starting to block out a week of rooms in hopes that the Masters is going to be coming there. Have you heard anything along those lines?
Well, you know, I went to the University of South Carolina, and I was lucky enough to play the Palmetto Golf Club with you and Janice after one of the Masters. And I got some friends in Aiken, and the similar situation, Bob, with it being about an hour away, a lot of people will stay in a hotel there and then make the trek to Augusta. They saw the same type of things where those hotel room nights were at Augusta week prices rather than the second or third week of October. So I would imagine that's what they're trying to do. You know, you'd hate to go a year without the Masters golf tournament. It doesn't seem right. It's not going to seem right here in a couple of weeks. So if they can play it by October, and they can, you know, they're not going to do it unless they can do it the way they want it, as you and I know that. So at least it appears they're making an effort to try and have it that way. But as you said last week, and it's a scary thought to think, but it's not out of the realm of possibility that we may not see another ball struck this year on the PGA Tour.
PGA rumored right now to maybe taking a hard look at that second week in August when the Olympics were going to be taken as a replacement date, as we alluded to, Jay, no U.S. Open announcement yet. And as far as the Open Championship, the RNA still say they have time before the build-out has to start. We'd be going to Royal St. George's, but certainly at this juncture, not looking very well.
No, and I think the other side of this, Bob, is, you know, we move forward and get through it, is there are probably going to be some people, whether it's 2 weeks after an all clear or 6 months after an all clear, that may be a little hesitant in the near future going to major sporting events or going to major crowds. Now, there may be not that much of a threat, but I do think it's going to be interesting. I also, you know, I found interesting that, God bless Jay Monahan, who said the PGA Tour needed his salary more than he did. He has taken a cut. Upper management was asked to cut their salaries by 25%. I was talking with somebody yesterday. I mean, when this is all said and done, maybe Tom Brady doesn't need to make $20 million. Maybe $10 million is the number. I mean, maybe a movie actor doesn't need to make blah, blah, blah. Maybe some restrictions can be made even more with the lobbying, and some of the people that represent the people will do it to help the people and not to help their bank accounts. I mean, you know, there's going to be an opportunity for potential change and change in the way we view things. So, and I'm not dogging Tom Brady for making $20 million, but you know, when Joe Blow is the bartender at the place down the street and he got nothing and he got nobody coming in, you know, maybe we need to put our priorities a little in check.
Very well said, Jay, and it's certainly a valid point. The LPGA, Mike Wan, they rescheduled their first major of the year. The ANA Inspiration used to be the Dinosaur. Never forget a barbecue that I was invited to in at Dinosaur's house. That was a real treat. They're looking at a mid-September date. And then, Jay, please join me on a personal note from in the grow room with Bob and Jay. Golf instructor extraordinaire, and I don't use that word lightly, Pete Cowan says he has the virus, and he says take precautions. Nobody wants to go through what he is going through right now. Pete Cowan, not only the perfect gentleman, Jay, but if you take a survey of everybody playing professional golf and they were asked to name the number one teacher in the game right now, you're going to hear the name Pete Cowan come up probably more than any other name.
Worked with a ton of guys, worked with a bunch of guys he doesn't take credit for. Good guy, as you said, really good instructor. And there, you know, there haven't been, depending on where you are, it has not, you know, we haven't had four or five PGA Tour players test positive like the NBA has. So when you see somebody that's a significant figure in your sport or the sport you love or cover, it really shakes you up a little bit, and best wishes to Pete.
And of course, Ping announced that they're shutting down their factory first time. Falls in line with Titleist, Callaway, TaylorMade, and the other golf manufacturing facilities in the United States. So the picture we're painting is bleak, but we don't want to leave you feeling down. So why don't you tease Jay to something special that we have coming up right after a break?
Well, he's one of the unique individuals of all time in our game. He was part of the Big Three. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to do a two-part special. Bob had the chance to talk to the world traveler, the great Gary Player. Both he and Annika, as Bob mentioned, were to receive the Presidential Medal of Freedom at a ceremony at the White House with President Trump. Obviously, bigger things are going on. But Gary, as always, was kind enough to spend 25 minutes with the voice of golf, Bob Bubka, talking about Jack and Arnie and the world travel and how he got started and all the things that he has seen. So that will be coming your way next. So don't you dare go anywhere. Next on In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay, the great Gary Player. Enjoy golf as it was meant to be played at Gateway National Golf Links, a stunning links-style course in the St. Louis area. After all, it is the number one public golf course in St. Louis, and it's the only one with bent grass fairways. Only public course in the region with bent grass fairways. Gateway National offers golfers the rare opportunity to return to the rich traditions of the game with rolling links in the heart of the country. Gentle mounds and plenty of tall grasses. Spacious fairways, and of course, when you play number three, well, you just aim for the Gateway Arch. That's right, the iconic St. Louis Arch is right there. Gateway National Golf Links, the number one public golf course in St. Louis and the only one with bent grass, with a friendly staff to make your day a memorable one, to make your tee time the best way and the best rates are online at gatewaynational.com. An added perk, if you live here in the St. Louis area, you purchase the season pass. Walters Golf Management manages eight other properties and you'll get playing privileges at those golf courses. Gateway National, always in great shape. And remember that website, gatewaynational.com. That's where you'll find the best rates, gatewaynational.com. Welcome back to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jake. I'm J.J. Randolph Jr. You can find me on Twitter, STL Golf Geek. If you want to come walk Gateway National in the next couple of weeks, drive in and come play Gateway National in Madison, Illinois. My partner is the voice of golf, Bob Bubka. You can find him on Twitter at Bob Bubka, V-O-G. And as he likes to do, talk to the greatest players of all time. Bob, on the heels of Gary Player being honored with that Presidential Medal of Freedom, had the chance to catch up with the world traveler and talk about a lot of stuff.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
I'm curious, and I'm sure our listeners would love to know, as a young man growing up in South Africa, how did you first get introduced to golf?
Well, my father was a golfer. He worked on a gold mine, and he worked 8,000 feet underground for £100 a month. But he loved golf, and he said to me, come out and play golf. And I said, no, that's a sissy's game. I'm playing football and all the other sports. And I went out and played, and I loved it so much. And thank goodness he got me to play, because golf is a passport to the world. And here I am, 84, averaging 72 when I play golf, and I've beaten my age well over 2,000 times in a row. It's made friends. It's enabled me to travel more miles than any human being ever. I've been able to get the greatest education that's obtainable. So I'm so grateful for what golf has done for me and the friends it's made and the money I've been able to raise for charity, etc., and change the lives of thousands of people. What a thrill.
Just hearing the man's voice, it just gets you going. I mean, he's such a fascinating individual. Clearly the way he took to golf, I love that he called it back then, it was deemed a sissy sport. And he mentioned, I mean, the only people that have traveled further than Gary Player are astronauts that have been to the moon. I mean, that's how much this cat has been all over the world and been an ambassador for our game. And as I said, if you're ever around him or just listen to the spark in his voice, as Bob can attest, he's a unique individual.
Do you remember the first time that you realized that you may have a special talent to play golf?
When I was 17, I said to my dad, I want to be a pro. He said, whoa, no. Yeah, there's no money in the game. You got to get a law degree or a doctor's degree or something of that nature. And I said, well, if I'm going to become the world champion, I'm going to work harder than anybody else ever did. And by traveling, Dad, it's the greatest education. that anybody can get.
It's interesting to hear Gary talk about that time in our game. A lot of the younger people don't realize, like Bob and I do, that the guys were vagabonds. They were traveling three and four in a car here in the United States, and there wasn't much money, and you had to take a club pro job in the winter somewhere or in the summer and then play on a winter tour. I mean, they were gypsies. To a sense. So it's not surprising that Gary's dad would caution him, but it certainly isn't surprising that Gary would, as he said, work as hard as he could and become one of the game's great players and ambassadors.
Well, you certainly picked the right career path. What was it like when you first came to the United States to play golf?
Can you imagine? I came from South Africa, which is one of the three most beautiful countries in the world. Highest standard of living. It has its problems like everywhere else does. Great climate, the best beaches, the wild animal kingdom parks. It has everything. And I left South Africa and I came here on my own. And oh my goodness, I arrived in New York, this massive, massive city. And I went up to about the 30th floor and I put my head out the window and I could see I was only a third of the way there. And I got hold of my wife. You had to book a phone call in those days. You booked a phone call today and you got it tomorrow, and the cable went under the ocean. And if the ocean wasn't too rough, you got the call. If the ocean was rough, you waited until it wasn't. Not like now, I've already phoned South Africa three times today. So change is the price of survival. And things have really changed. But I came to this great country, the greatest country in the world. And I tell people every day, if you ever wake up in the morning, because not everybody does wake up every day, kiss the ground and just say how lucky I am to live in America with a wonderful free enterprise system that you have. And the freedom that you have and the soldiers. And my brother, by the way, went to war at 17 to fight with the Americans. These young boys had to fight for freedom. It wasn't a gift. You had to fight for it. We could have lost. Can you imagine if we lost the war where we'd be? So I'd like all the young students at universities and around the world, particularly in America, just to realize what a wonderful thing freedom is and how cherished it is.
Again, to hear the things that one of the greatest golfers and one of the greatest ambassadors of the game and people, as you hear him speak, continue to talk about our country. And I think it's a great time for some of these reminders. And interesting that you heard Gary say, even though we do so much for others, it's his belief that we should focus a little bit more on ourselves. And maybe down the road, that will be something that will be part of what's happened here. So unique times. And a special guy talking about our country.
Well, it's certainly powerful words coming from Gary Player. Gary, can I ask you, how were you notified that you were going to be given the Presidential Medal of Freedom?
Well, I received a message of which I was very, very grateful for. It's the greatest honor that I've ever had bestowed upon me. The president of America, the greatest country in the world, and his committee to give it to Annika Sorenstam, who I love, and a very, very good choice with Annika. And, you know, I've been given all these awards over 70 years. I've been playing golf on my golfing prowess. But I like to feel I've done more for freedom and for human beings than I did for golf. And, you know, when I think of Houston, I think of Charlie Sifford. I played a lot of practice rounds with him, and he wasn't allowed to play. You had your segregation when I first came over here. He wasn't allowed to play in the golf tournaments. And I went to bat for him with the PGA, and I went up to Cleveland and tried to help him at his club there. And he never forgot that. And one of the greatest, greatest thrills I have, he asked me as a white South African to induct him into the Hall of Fame. And that was such a great honor, as Lee Elder asked me to make the speech when he was given the Bobby Jones Award. So it's nice to know that your efforts to change people's lives, and we've raised a lot of money around the world to give people a place in the sun, because I was poor and I suffered. And I always said, when I become a world champion, I didn't say if, I said, when I become a world champion one day, I'm going to change people's lives. And there's always somebody that's going to criticize you for some of the things you do in life, but you've got to live with criticism. You can imagine the president of America trying his best every day and the way people hammer him. Wow, can you imagine how tough that is?
Well, Bob, some people deal with criticism better than others, including various presidents along the way. But again, stating that he feels as if his playing career, which is as about as good as you can get other than Jack and Tiger, is secondary to his humanitarian efforts, to his kindness, to his commitment to physical fitness, to his commitment to health. You know, and I almost, in a sense, am glad it's Annika that was also recognized with him. You know, not that she's been the Gary Player of the ladies' game, but in a sense she has, with her global travel, with her commitment to helping and doing with others, and the stuff she's done with Arnold's Hospital in Orlando. So two grand people, neither born in the United States, getting the United States Medal of Freedom. Pretty strong.
Yeah, absolutely incredible. And speaking of incredible, you know, only a handful of golfers have ever received this Presidential Medal of Freedom. And now you join Jack and Arnie, two of your dearest friends, Charlie Siffert, who you mentioned, Tiger Woods, Annika Sorenstam, as the only people to get the Presidential Medal of Freedom. I can only imagine the pride that you feel to be recognized at this level, Gary.
Absolutely, Bob. And I was very, very so excited. And I said a special prayer. And I've said a few more prayers since I've gone to bed because, you know, I like to feel that I'm a great ambassador for this country. I've got three children that live here that are citizens. I've got 15 American grandchildren. And, you know, I just love this country, and I'm grateful for what this country's done for me. When you look at what America have been the great Samaritan of the world. The first planes that arrived in Indonesia with a tsunami was America. Just one example. You know, blankets and water and food. When you think what America's done, students at Harvard and all these universities, 50% coming from overseas. And the thing is that I don't think the rest of the world has appreciated enough for what America has done for them. And I've always said America's got to start doing more for your country right here now. We need more done in the inner cities and things like that, and education, and educating the children correctly. Get them away from the socialistic idea, socialism. Socialism is poison. I've traveled the world and seen what socialism has done to so many of these countries. Absolutely ruined them. America's got the big system. Yes, there are things that America can improve on. Nobody's perfect. But my goodness me, what a country America is.
Now think about that, folks. He talked about how wonderful his homeland of South Africa was, but made it a point to be very clear. And I think during these times we're enduring, it's a great reminder. The man said, you're in the greatest country of them all, America. The freedom, the ability to do what we want, at least as much as we can, and what we're doing now. You know, this guy's seen everything. He's been everywhere. He's been to communist countries. He's been to third world countries. And it's pretty cool that he considers the U.S. the finest place of them all.
All right, I'm going to give you an opportunity to construct the greatest foursome in history. What names would Gary Player use?
I'd take Winston Churchill. I'd take Gandhi. I'd take Mother Teresa. And Nelson Mandela.
Well, I know if I was playing, I'd want Mother Teresa as my partner.
You know, if you got sick, she'd look after you for nothing.
Well, that brought a chuckle to me as well. Interesting crew there, and Bob could use the help of Mother Teresa, that's for sure. Bob, what an inspiration this guy is. I mean, as I said after the first question you asked him, his voice itself is almost uplifting. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree 100%, Jay, and I was just thinking, probably we couldn't have any better guest in this time where everybody is concerned about what's going to happen, not only today, but tomorrow and in the future. We can gain a lot of hope from the inspiration and enthusiasm of Gary Player. I must say it was truly an honor and a privilege to be able to spend that amount of time with him. And we hope it brings a little joy to the listeners of In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay.
I don't think there's any doubt about it, and they'll get more of it next week on In the Grill Room. And we remind everybody, be safe, social distance, wash those hands, and tell a friend to listen to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay.
Well, now you're up to date on what's going on around the world of golf. That's it for this week.
So on behalf of our executive producer, Janice Self, Jay Randolph Jr., and myself, Bob Bupka, a big thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGRGolf. Of course, you can like us and follow us on Facebook and on Instagram at The Grill Room Golf Show.